to this church today because of you. And you only are the purpose that we came here. You are the meaning of our lives. You the one, oh God, that gives purpose in our lives. You give meaning to our lives. You are the reason that we get up in the morning. You are the reason, oh God, that we live in this world. You the one, oh Lord, that inspire us. You are the one who is strengthen us. And we came here because we want to have that close relationship with you. We want to have that intimacy with you. Speak with us. We open our ears. We open our hearts to receive from you because we love you. We love you more than we love ourselves. We love you more than we love this world and anything in it. You are our first love. In Jesus' name, put your hands together. Say, I love you, Jesus. And before you sit down, shake somebody's hands and say, thanks for coming to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shake somebody's hands. Give a smile. We came all here because of the Lord. And God is good. And His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. God is awesome God. The title of the message today is Desperate for God. Desperate. So most of us, at some point in our lives, at some point in time, we would consider ourselves in a desperate situation. Raise your hands if you have gone through a desperate situation in your family or with yourself. Yeah, praise God. Many people rose their hands. It might have been a physical pain, a long-standing financial problem, or perhaps a grave sickness of a loved one. And according to the New World Dictionary, it says that being desperate is having a great need, a great desire. A desperate person possesses a sense of need. They don't just want what they are requesting from God. They must have it. It's not an option. They have to have it. That's when the person is desperate. And that is the attitude with which we should need to pray for the lost. That's how we should pray for our healing, for our families, for the spiritual and physical growth of our church, as well as our personal walking with the Lord. We need to pray, but desperate prayer. Prayer characterized by urgency, brokenness of the heart. And we look in our world, we see so many people desperate. People who are desperate, they will do almost anything. So I would like to pose the question this morning. What are you desperate for? Do you have a desperation in your life? What is it? Think about, have you ever felt desperate? Are you desperate today? Desperation is a condition of life. It's humanly normal to be desperate. Everyone gets desperate at some point of our lives. The Bible is full of desperate people. And in Psalms 142 verse 6, David wrote that when he was going through so much persecution, he wrote, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. That means I'm brought in a desperation circumstances. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. David was being persecuted by Saul because Saul didn't want him to be the next king. And Saul was the king, and David was running away from Saul. And I'm in a desperate situation. David replied to God. in 2 Samuel 24:14, but let us, it says, and they've said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So David is desperate, and he focused his desperation in the Lord. He focused not on his own ability, but he focused his desperation in the Lord. Sometimes we feel that God has brought us to a place of desperation. There is many people going through desperate times. And in Psalm 63 says, thou hast shewed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Even the people that were following God, they were placed in a position of desperation, as David was. Somebody trying to kill him. Sometimes it seems like nothing is working. We try and try and try and try, and it seems that nothing is working. And the Bible talks about it. In the day shall you make your plant to grow, and in the morning shall you make your seed to flourish. And we can see in Isaiah 17:11. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate soul. So if you look at Isaiah 17:11, it says, in the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate soul. He is talking about how you try and you try and you try and you have tried. Sometimes we are desperate because of choices made by other people. We can hear that in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 5. When the marines were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So all the sailors that were on the ship, they were getting desperate. They were desperate. They were throwing all the heavy things, all their gear and things, all the heavy things that they had and things that they need. They were throwing at the sea so that the boat wouldn't sink. And they were desperate. The Bible says that they would start praying everyone to his own God. And in the middle of this desperation, Jonah was fast asleep. Whether he didn't know that there was a storm going on, but the Bible says that he was sleeping in there. Also shows that he was relying on God. And then when he woke up, then they woke him up, and he said, you have to throw me in the water. He heard from God to be thrown in the water. So peace would come into the boat. But those sailors, they were desperate. They did what they knew they were supposed to do. They tried to empty the ship, and they start praying every man to his own God. And they are desperate when they feel that death is approaching them. Sometimes it seems that our desperation will not go away. And the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 15:18, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar, is asking, and as waters that fail? So Jeremiah is asking God, why? Many have been sick. Many have been desperate, and they try and they try, and it seems that nothing has worked. And in the book of Psalms, it says, verse 88:15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. The problem is not what, is not that we are desperate, but what we do with desperation that we have. What do we do with that desperation? When we come to that point of desperation in our lives, we must have it. What do we do with that desperation? How we respond to the desperation? In Psalm 60, David is surrounded by his enemies in every direction. You see, King Saul was willing to kill him. Would be like somebody that would be killed by the government. Imagine the FBI after you, and you know that you are innocent, but the government is after you to kill you, and they have all orders to kill you. And the Secret Servant FBI is after you, and they are chasing after you. Imagine yourself in that situation. That's what David was. He was running away from Saul. Saul was the king. He had all his army after David. And David went hiding in caves. Imagine the conditions, living in caves. And that's what he did. He was desperate, fearing for his life. It was a constantly moving back and going here from there, from cave to cave to cave, from cave. And he never knew when Saul was closer to him. He had way to know, because he had to trust on the people that were surrounding him. God restore us again. Cry out to God for restoration. Heal its branches, for it is shaking. Only God can heal our land. Desperation should bring us to God's word. God has spoken in his holiness a message, a prophetic message. God has a plan when we are desperate. The Lord our God is with you. Let's take a look in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singings. God is our hope. God can do valiant things. God is our last hope. He is our strong tower when we are desperate. God is the only solution for this world, for all the sickness, all the diseases, all the problems that seems to grow every passing day in our world. God is the solution. Jesus is the solution. Jesus said, come to me, you that are tired and with a heavy burden, come to me. I am the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Every problem that we have is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities disguised as problems. So when you see your problems, it's an opportunity to try God, to have God solving the problem. In our desperation, we must run to God. Desperation is an opportunity to seek God. It's a test that we are going through. Desperate people are the people that are praying, and they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. Praise the Lord. Desperation, when you are desperate, that's when you need the word of God. It's no longer an option. You, in your heart, you want to seek that. You want to read the word. You want to hear that encouragement. You have a need. in your spirit, in the deepest of your heart. You have that need. And you are willing to pay the price. In your desperation, you seek God. In your desperation, you come to the altar. In your desperation, you cry to God. Because you know that only He has the answer for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the book of Psalms, at the verse 61, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Hear my cry, O God. O God." See, it's not "O God." It's "O God." It comes from deep of your heart that you need Him. That He is the answer for your problem. Because He is your maker. He made you. He knows what you are made of. Hallelujah. The Word says that He knows you even before we were born. And I believe with all my heart that God has a plan when we are desperate to bring us closer to Him. Because God Himself are desperate for mankind. Look at Jesus. Jesus was desperate for people. He was walking around healing everybody that came to Him. Everybody. I believe He was just about 24/7 in His ministry. Even when Nicodemus came to talk to Him, He had to come at night. Perhaps Jesus couldn't have like a talk, an intellectual talk, or just have a talking to Him 101, because He was always surrounded by all these people. And all these people, they were after Jesus. They were desperate. We're going to be talking about these people in a few minutes. But God is desperate for mankind. God is desperate for you. God is desperate for your family. God is desperate for this church. God is desperate for West Palm Beach. God is desperate for United States, for our country, for our world. God is desperate. Jesus came, and you can see how desperate He was. He endured to the cross. He shed His blood at the cross for His love for us. This is a desperate action. God took a desperate action in a sense that He died for our sins even when we were sinners. Isn't that a desperate action? Praise God. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Praise God. A desperate action, how God left His throne. He's sitting on the throne in heaven. And He come in here in this world, born of a virgin, in a place with the horses and the cattle, in a stable. A God with all the power, His presence filled the whole universe with all the glory and majesty. And He left all that. And He come and He stepped into this world in a flesh, and He felt pain, He cried, He felt all the emotions that we do, to be tempted like we are. The Bible says that He was tempted in all things. This is a desperate action of a God to endure to all He did. Hallelujah. Let's pray that our desperation bring us closer to God and that we become desperate for other people. People that they are going to hell. But it's not the will of God that no one should perish. But we all come to the knowledge of the truth. That we all come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the solution for all that are desperate in this world. And those that are looking for answers. There is a positive power of desperation. Finding God when we have tried everything else. I want you to see your desperation as a power that brings you close to God. As hard as it is to accept many times our desperations, our conditions, and this is things that happens to us that God allows them to happen to us with a purpose. The Bible says that there is not even a leaf from the tree that falls without God's knowledge. So he knows what we are going through. Desperation is where we come to an end of ourselves. We come to an end when we empty ourselves, when we have tried everything in our ability. You already tried everything that you can do, humanly possible. And when we decide to follow God, we go through storms. We go through difficulties. We go through those desperate situations. But many people can serve God when the sun is shining, the sea is calm. But it takes really men and women of faith, courage, and commitment to stay in their course through the storm. The desperation tests our level of commitment. Desperation helps us to see what's really important and what is the excess baggage. The desperation shakes us. It shakes us loose the things that are unnecessary in our lives and the things that does not connect us to Christ. Desperation brings the best of us, or the worst. When we get desperate, that is going to bring, that shows what you are really made of. And we can see when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and came to the storm, and they always start shouting and yelling, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. See, why Jesus was sleeping in the boat? Probably he was not getting enough rest, because with all the multitude following him, and he got that an opportunity to get in the boat only with the 12, and he could rest. And they woke him up because they were desperate. They felt that the boat was going to flip over and they all going to die. And Jesus walked the sea. He was walking on the sea. The disciples saw him walking. They got desperate because they thought it was a spirit. But it's amazing how far we can go sometimes and to run into the grace of God. We get desperate when we are prompted by fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what other people might think or say. And fear for breaking a tradition. But desperation overcome fear. When you are desperate, you are beyond fear. Desperation goes beyond fear. And desperation is a positive power in preparing us for the awesome revelations and manifestations of the power of God. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Put your hands together. Praise God. Many that I'm speaking to you today, many of you have sensed a growing desperation in your spirit. You have not known which way to turn. Nothing seems to work anymore. You are exhausted. So when you come to this situation, you are on the verge or of a fresh revelation that is going to bring you into a deepest relationship with God than you never known before. That is going to be the greatest experience with God. That is going to be you experiencing what it really means to walk with God. I remember when my nephew was diagnosed with cancer. And he was a boy. He was like 8 years old. And was in his intestines and was growing. And was Christmas. Was during the Christmas time. And my mom had prepared all this food for Christmas. And I said, well, it is Christmas. I need to get a hold of Jesus during this Christmas. And I told him, I'm not eating all that feast with my nephew in the situation that he is. And I started praying and asking God for his healing. So my sister brought him to the doctor on January. And he was healed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I saw him last time that I went to Brazil. We talked about that. And he has to go to the doctor every year just to check. They just want to check. And now he's almost 20 years old. And for 20 years, nothing come back. And I believe in Jesus' name that he's healed for lifetime. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So let's talk about the prodigal son. That is a very, very touchy way to describe desperation. The prodigal son, he took all that money from his father, his part of the inheritance, and he went to a city, according to the Bible, in Luke chapter 15, verse 15 through 19. And he took all the money and he went to spend. And he wanted to enjoy his life. And he enjoyed and he spent all his money as he was away. Then came a famine. And he had no more money. So he started looking for a job or something because he didn't have any more money. The only job that he found was taking care of pigs. And then he couldn't even eat the food because he was supposed to eat what the pigs ate. And he couldn't find any food for him to eat. Then he came to his senses, according to the Bible. And then he decided to go back to his father. And he thought, my father wouldn't take me anymore as a son, so I want to go and work for my father. And the Bible says that he went and his father met him in the way, hugged him, and his father forgave him and did accept him as a son. So today I would like to share with you that people go levels, just about 3 or 4 levels before they reach the desperation. And the desperation is not the end. When you are desperate, that's not the end. There's one more step that you have to go through. That's called faith. So the first step is denial. Denial. When we have a problem, whatever the problem is, we are in the level of denial. Oh, that's not happening to me. That is really not a problem. In the case of the prodigal son, he thought, I'm investing. I still have a planning. Oh, that will never happen to me. That's in denial. The second stage would be invincibility. Oh, it's not a big problem that I can't overcome. I have my own strength. I have my own ability. I have friends. I can get a job. In the case of the prodigal son, I still have money left over. Then we move to the third stage, which is fear. Fear always comes with a question. What if? When you are fearful, it's always what if? What if? What if this problem is more serious than I thought? What if I can't get a job? What if the surgery doesn't go well? What if I lose my job? What if? It's always come with what if. What if my friends don't stand up for me in the case of the prodigal son? Fear always come with what if. That's what insurance company, United States, they are big business, because what if you drive in your car and there's a car accident? What if a lightning strike your house? You have to buy house insurance. So you have to have a car insurance. What if you are sick? You have to have health insurance. And all the what ifs, I preached one time about what ifs of life. I don't know if many of you remember. Raise your hands if you remember when I preach about what ifs. Oh, praise God. Praise God. A couple of sisters remember. So it's the what ifs. And that's the devil trying to put fear. What if? But what if? You know, and with God, we don't have a what ifs. With God, we have a guarantee that He is with us, because His word says so. I'm with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you alone. That's what Jesus said. He is with us. The Lord is my strength. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Praise God. Another stage after fear will come the desperation. A desperate person would accept anything, would do anything, go anywhere, say anything to solve that problem. Because the goal is to solve the problem. In the case of the prodigal son, he accepted a job in a farm. Then when you pass the desperation, you move to faith. Faith, I'll go back to my father's farm, and my father will certainly give me a job. So the prodigal son, he moved from denial, invincibility, fear, desperation, to faith. So God wants to move us from desperation to faith. Look how he moved the prodigal son. He came to faith. He had faith, no longer fear. Amen? He said, I am going back to my father's house, and I know that he will accept me as one of his employees. And he was sure. And he went and he said, I'm not worried about if he's not going to take me as his son anymore. I'm okay with that. I want a job. Amen. So he was into faith. So we can see the lady with the issue of blood. Let's take a look in the Bible verse. The lady with the issue of blood. She is star having this issue of blood. And the Bible says that she, according to the book of, let's see where she is. Oh, Luke 8:43. It says, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garments. And immediately, her issue of blood is stanched. This sick, anonymous woman. See, we have another woman that is anonymous. The Bible does not tell her name. The Bible talks about what happens. I preached once about serving God anonymously. I don't know if many of you remember that, but this is one of the women that she's anonymous. Doesn't tell her name. She's been after a hemorrhage lasting for 12 years. According to the Jewish tradition, she was an unclean woman. She couldn't be, there's certain things that she couldn't be in society. She could not throw herself. Therefore, she threw herself at the feet of Jesus and stated her complaint. Her modesty, humility, uncleanness, and pressure of the crowd, She made the close contact with Jesus. She was eager to touch Jesus, the hand of his garment. So we can learn from her. While we can think about this woman, how she probably had the issue of blood. And in the beginning, she was in denial. Oh, it's not a big problem. It's not a problem. I am healthy. I am a healthy woman. And she was in denial. Maybe after she was in denial, she went to the phase of invincibility. Oh, I can go to the doctor and have that taken care of. The Bible says that she has been to many physicians. So she probably went to her family doctor, and he told her to go to the specialist. And she went to the specialist, and the specialist referred her to another expert. And she went to another expert, from doctors to doctors. The Bible says that she spent all her money, from doctors to doctors to doctors. And probably if there's another more doctors, or if she would have more money, she wouldn't go to Jesus. And probably the prodigal son, if he would had found a good paid job, he wouldn't come back to his father's house. And he would be lost forever. You understand what I mean? So God has a purpose in our desperation. God has a purpose when things happen to good people. God has a purpose when things happen with the faithful people. And sometimes we ask, why God? But God has a purpose to bring us closer to him. Amen. So she came from her desperation. In her desperation, she went from doctor to doctor to doctor. But when she went beyond desperation now. So she went to faith. She thought, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And that's what she did. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to move from desperation to faith. Amen? Say, move from desperation to faith. Amen. Say it. Move from desperation to faith. Don't dwell in desperation. The world is in desperation. There's people desperate. They go to drugs, drinking, gambling. They go to all the things of the world. You know? I heard the story of a lady looking for a job she couldn't find, and she went into prostitution because she was desperate for money. There's another story of a young man that he was desperate for a job. He couldn't find one, and he started stealing because people get desperate. But God wants us to move from desperation to faith on him, to trust on him. God, he is our God. He's our provider. For all of those that have struggled with the feeling of desperation, you have done all you know what to do. Now it's time to pray. There is never too much pray. You have fasted. There is never too much fasting. You have confessed. And there's always more to confess to the Lord. Jesus is in the other side of your desperation. There is a miracle. And this is the greatest revelation that you can get from God. That beyond your desperation, there is faith. There is healing. Desperation is like the stages of a pregnancy. For those that are ladies in here, they know what I'm talking about. Desperation makes you uncomfortable. Nothing feels quite right. A pregnant woman cries for no specific reason. It seems that our emotions are right on the surface all the time. You don't fit the clothes they used to fit in. When you are desperate, all the old things that you used to do, it doesn't fit you anymore. You can't sit still. You can always be moving. All the while, something inside of you is growing. You are desperate. Something is growing and growing inside of you. You might not be able to see what it is, but anyone can see that you are pregnant. And that's the way it is. And there might be a ministry growing inside of you, an anointing growing inside of you. There's a special gift for you, a new vision, a new level. Something is getting ready to be birthed. And desperation is the second last stage before the manifestation, until you break into faith. And God is going to fulfill his desire upon your life. I come to tell you that delay is not denial, and desperation is just one step. You are one step to faith, because God is faithful. God, he is not like the son of man that lies. His word is the truth. His promises come to fulfill. And God is always on time. It seems like it will never happen, but if God said it, will come to pass. Amen? Say, if God said it, it will come to pass. You might have to go through the storm of desperation. But you have, maybe you have to find some giants. David, he was fighting the giant Goliath. He wasn't afraid. He was outraged by what the Philistine said. And he turned and said, how dare this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, say such a thing? He was outraged. So let's be outraged by what's going on. In our desperation, let's get outraged and turn and break into faith. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, if you will. Let's thank God for this word. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank you for this Bible study today. Lord, we want to thank you for this time with you. We want to thank you for speaking with us. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Lord, help us. Help us, oh Jesus, to break from desperation to faith. Help us to be encouraged by your word, encouraged by your Holy Spirit, encouraged, oh God, by your touch in our minds, in our hearts. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Lord, we know that there's so many people in here today, every person dealing with one sort of problem, one sort of desperation or other. You know it all. Like you say in your word, that you knows it all. You know the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end. And you know everything in between. You know our struggles. You know our battles. You know what we are struggling with. And we give it to you. We lay down our problems at the feet of Jesus. We lay our desperation at the feet of Jesus. And we are getting ready to give a testimony. We are getting ready, oh Lord, to shout out and to praise and worship you and give a testimony on how you delivered us and how you helped us and how you intervened when we were desperate. We thank you in Jesus' name. Put your hands